This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
Welcome back. Last time we looked at the Irish response to the outbreak of the European War, and this programme will deal with two particular issues that arose during that conflict: the recruiting campaign to attract Irishmen to the British Army and the conscription crisis in the final years of the war. Brian O'Higgins, the author of To Any Unbought Irishman, took part in the rising in the GPO. He had been part of the nationalist movement since his youth, and he developed an astonishing facility for turning out poems and songs almost on demand. His verse is always well-crafted, but always tinged with a sense of utter self-righteousness and intolerance for any other point of view. One gets the feeling that he was the kind of man that could countenance any reprisal against those who disagreed with him. He took the anti-treaty side in the Civil War and afterwards became a TD. He was one of the seven abstentionist TDs who provided the IRA with their notional legitimacy through their self-important transfer of authority from Dáil Éireann to the IRA Army Council in 1938. At least one of his songs has survived in tradition, the wonderful A Stour Machree.
Don't be downhearted. There's nothing to dread, though taxes may gather and grow. You never need go without champagne to bed or ride on Shank's mare in the snow. Though jobs may be few and the pay may be small and your spirits may droop for a spell, there's one solid blessing that's left after all. You still have a country to sell.
Thanks very much for that, Maura. That, I always thought that little piece was like a little stiletto with a sharp point plunged in and out.
I looked at it and I went, you could use that today.
That's right.
I like it. I like it, I have to say. It's very kind of, it's to the point. Yeah. And I kind of went, thanks, Terry, when I saw that one.
It was written, of course, by Brian O'Higgins, who wrote hundreds and hundreds of verses, and all very skillfully, all very often with great humour, but always with a kind
barb.
Of a barb. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. No, it's very pointed altogether. And again, you know, you can see where he's going with it. You can see kind of the attack on the people who have the money versus the people who don't, and the kind of cavalier kind of, it actually, you know, it brought back reasonably kind of recent things like Irish Water and privatisation of those kinds of
utilities.
Thank you. I'm thinking in Spanish as well here. So yeah, it brought me back to the kind of the Irish Water privatisation thing, and the kind of the idea that this is just a way of making money for some people, whereas it's life and death to other people, you know, or not quite, but, you know, close enough, you know. I just thought, it's a great poem and it could be easily used against certain members of government today.
That's right. It's kind of timeless in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In that respect, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Maura. Margaret Skinner attributed the song Anti-Recruiting Song to Constance Markievicz in her book Doing My Bit for Ireland, published in 1917. Unfortunately, Skinner can't be regarded as an accurate witness, since she also wrote that Padraig Kearney's Soldier's Song, written in 1907, had been sung by the Fenian rebels in 1867. It seems this song was written after the outbreak of the war, but before the rising. With its call to join the Volunteers or the Citizen Army, it's likely that it was written before the rising but after the outbreak of the war, for it also refers to a general hope at the time that England was doing very well and Germany would win the war.
The recruiters are raiding all Dublin, boys. It's them we'll have to be troubling, boys. We'll go to their meetings and give them such greetings. We'll give them in German for fun, me boys. 'Tis the Germans they're out to destroy, me boys, whose prosperity did so annoy, me boys. So let each Irish blade just stick to his trade and let Bull do his own dirty work, me boys. For the Germans are winning the war, me boys, and England is feeling so sore, me boys. They're passing conscription, the only prescription to make Englishmen go to the front, me boys. Your boss, he won't go to the war, me boys. Hun bullets for him are a bore, me boys. So kindly he frees you, he does it to squeeze you, to fight for his money and him, me boys. They've hunger conscription in Ireland, boys. You'll starve till you're thin as a wire, me boys. You'll get very thin, but you won't care a pin, for you'll know it's for Ireland's sake, me boys. For the English are losing the war, me boys, and they want us all killed before, me boys. The great German nation has sworn their damnation. We'll echo the curse with a will, me boys. Then hurrah for the gallant old Dublin boys, and if you wouldn't be muddling, boys, join a volunteer corps, or if that is a bore, the citizen army's as good, me boys. Then hurrah for the volunteers, me boys, Ireland in arms has no fears, me boys, and surely if we would set Ireland free, we'll arm and we'll drill for the day, me boys. For the Germans are going to win, me boys, and Ireland will have to butt in, me boys. From a gale with a gun, the Briton will run, and we'll dance at the wake of the Empire, boys.
Thanks very much for that, Maura. First time I've ever heard the song sung, although I've seen it in print. We only have Margaret Skinner's word that Constance Markievicz wrote it, and Margaret Skinner published her book in 1917. It must have been written before the Rising, but after the beginning of the war, because this refers to hunger conscription in Ireland. And there was an idea that Britain wanted to keep her manpower working in the factories to keep the war effort going, and was looking outside England for men for the trenches. Mm. Did the song strike you in any way like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, actually, I found that line was quite interesting to me, hunger conscription. And if you look at the USA today, the first people called in the event of a war are the people who are there on like green cards and stuff like that. They call the American citizens after they've called all the green cards to go and go to, you know, whatever they're doing. But so, yeah, it would make sense to me that they'd be looking for, you know, looking for trench fodder kind of farther afield rather than nearer to home at first. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever come across Margaret Skinner as a writer? Or?
No. I can't say I have. Yeah.
Apparently she actually taught in King's Inn Street School. My sister-in-law's sister was taught by her, so she lasted quite a long time after the Rising. But she seems to have been a doughty woman.
Yes, I mean, it's a great song in the sense that it does what it needs to do. It's a, you know, it's a rabble rouser, and it's kind of it's great propaganda. You know, it's a great, and it's got a good kind of nice swingy way to it. So you know, you can sort of, you can go at it, and it's a good one to get everybody going. So I can see where it's a good song. It's a good song for what it needs to do. You know, which is kind of get everybody's blood up and get them all joining the volunteers.
great rendition. Thanks very much.
Not at all.
Another excellent derisive song about the efforts of the British Army to recruit Irishmen to die in the trenches of France and Belgium was Seamus O'Farrell's The Recruiting Sergeant. It'll be sung for us now by the Black Brothers.
Well, lads, I was going along the road a feeling fine and larky. A recruiting sergeant says to me, "You'd look fine in khaki. Our king, he is in need of men. Come read his proclamation. Life in Flanders now, me boys, it'd make a fine vacation." Says to him, "Now tell me, Sergeant Deary, if I'd a pack to come me back, do you think that I'd look cheery? You'd make me drill and train until I damn near lost me senses. It might be warm in Flanders, but it's the rafty in the trenches." But Cain, and then he looked provoking. He twisted and twiddled his wee moustaches. He, you must be joking. Them sandbags are so nice and warm, the wine will keep you glowing.
The Collins will take a shine to you, says I, what if it's snowing? Wind or shine, I'm not going out to Flanders. There's fighting on in Dublin town with your captains and commanders. Let Englishmen fight English wars, it's bloody near time they started. So I tip me hat to the sergeant bold, and then I boldly parted.
Derry Farrell is now going to sing for us a song called A Recruiting Camellia. The resistance to recruiting in Ireland was expressed in dozens of songs, and this is a good example of Brian Higgins' cynical, satirical style. To the air of Song from the Backwoods or Ireland Boys Hooray, it affects to support recruiting while giving a devastating portrayal of the reality of life in the British Army.
Come all ye true-hearted Irish youths and listen to my lay. I've enlisted for fame as a warrior bold at 10 bright pence a day. And I've sworn by every virtuous king that England ever knew to defend her cause and uphold her laws from Tara to Timbuktu. From Tara to Timbuktu, from Tara to Timbuktu, to defend her cause and uphold her laws from Tara to Timbuktu. My drill and my training are all complete. I course like a colonel now. I can show you the way to retreat in time when anyone starts a row. I can sport a fag and boast and brag. I can drink till I'm bold and brave. I can swagger and swear. I can whistle the air of Britannia Rules the Wave. Britannia Rules the Wave. Of Britannia Rules the Wave. I can swagger and swear. I can whistle the air of Britannia Rules the Wave. I'm loyal and true to the English king, and I cheer for the English crown. And dressed in a cast-off khaki coat, I dazzle and bloom in town. I'm one of the Empire's warrior sons, and I hope there'll never be war. For my liver gets white when I think of a fight, and my legs wouldn't carry me far. Oh, my legs wouldn't carry me far. Oh, my legs wouldn't carry me far. For my liver gets white when I think of a fight, and my legs wouldn't carry me far. So come all ye true-hearted Irish youths and throng to the Empire's aid. Who cares a rap about Ireland's wrongs when he's clothed and grummed and paid? You're sure of a share in an orphan's prayer while Britannia rules the wave. An imperial kick when your day is done and an Irish pauper's grave. An Irish pauper's grave and an Irish pauper's grave. An imperial kick when your day is done and an Irish pauper's grave.
Next, we're going to have Anthony O'Farrakhan singing the satirical song Join the British Army. This is a Dublin street song ridiculing the British Army, remarking that if I had a face like yours, I'd join the British Army, and describing how the army is reviled among the ordinary working class of Dublin.
When I was young, I used to be as fine a man as you could see. The Prince of Wales, he said to me, come join the British Army. Tooraloo, raloo, raloo, they're looking for monkeys up in the zoo. And if I had a face like you, I'd join the British Army. Corporal Daly's gone away, his wife is in the family way, and the only thing that she can say is blame the British Army. Toorloo, roo, roo, they're looking for monkeys up in the zoo, and if I had a face like you, I'd join the British Army. As Sergeant Doyle, he has the drought. Give him a load of Guinness stout, he'll bait the enemy with his mouth and save the British Army. Ah, toorloo, roo, roo, they're looking for monkeys up in the zoo, and if I had a face like you, I'd join the British Army. Sarah Jane, she baked a cake, she made it just for Slattery Jake. She trunnered as far as she could in the lake, saying to hell with the British Army. Toorloo, roo, roo, they're looking for monkeys up in the zoo, and if I had a face like you, I'd join the British Army. Kilted soldiers wear no drawers, won't you kindly lend them yours? The poor should always help the poor, reject the British Army. Toorloo, roo, roo, they're looking for monkeys up in the zoo, and if I had a face like you, I'd join the British Army. They'll bait the Germans without fuss and lay their bones out in the dust. I know, because they near bait us, that gallant British Army. Ah, toorloo, roo, roo, they're looking for monkeys up in the zoo, and if I had a face like you, I'd join the British Army.
Next up is a poem called Colonel Downing's 7th Pals Battalion. Colonel Geoffrey Downing, a former rugby player, was involved with the Irish Rugby Football Union, and he recruited the 7th Battalion of the Royal Dublin Fusiliers, of which D Company was to be reserved for volunteers from the IRFU. They went off to fight in the Middle East, and Maeve Kavanagh wrote this satirical poem about the whole process.
Now Dublin men, make haste and join Pal Downing's Pals Brigade. He'll let you bring your mother too, in case you feel afraid. Grand aunts and old age pensioners, he'll welcome each and all. No end of kind concessions if you answer England's call. He'll let you drill beside your pals and starve beside them too. So quit your rebel sneering and join the colours, do. Upon the field of battle, sure the Huns will run for life from the pals and Johnny Gawker with his disemboweling knife. You'll fight in goodly company, ye men from Dublin town. With the jailbird and the borderers, you'll surely save the crown. If you'll only sell your country, you'll get 1.09 a day. You can save it or invest it, but don't squander it away. So hurry up the next platoon, ye men of Dublin town. Sure you couldn't have the heart to see old England's flag go down. Is it lived without her peelers, her workhouse and her jail, her Aberdeens and garrison? The thought would turn you pale. So hurry up and take the bob. The butcher cannot wait. The German guns are talking at a most terrific rate. And if you should crawl back, minus arm or minus leg, you'll get leave to roam your city, to sell matches or to beg.
During the recruiting drive before the Rising, when the war had started in Europe, there was a lot of resistance to recruitment, and the Sinn Féin party were organising that resistance to a certain extent. But there was also voices on the other side criticising Sinn Féin for ignoring the plight of countries like Belgium and Serbia that had been invaded by Germany. This is one such piece, The Ballad of Sinn Féiners. It was originally published on a recruiting poster, and it appeared in the New York magazine Life. Our God is self. Though nations die and countless thousands writhe in pain, we shut our ears to moan and cry and close our eyes to all the slain. We frown not on the foulest deed. The reason for our stand is plain. Ourselves alone, that is our creed. An outraged maiden's dying sigh fills us with naught but cold disdain, and when the Prussians crucify our friends, we never wax insane and curse the beasts who so bestain this world of ours. Oh no, indeed. By doing so, what would we gain? Ourselves alone, that is our creed. I'm going to read for you now John Bull's Appeal, a poem written by Phil O'Neill, who wrote under the nom de plume of Slieve Rua. It was obviously written after the start of the war, before the Rising, and it satirises the recruitment process and casts severe doubt on the prospect of victory for the Allies. John Bull, as you know, is a clever old man. He gives little away, but he grabs all he can. But when he went looking for spoils to Berlin, he found his mistake, for the Kaiser was in. Then John says to Frenchy, "Come on, twiggez-vous, we'll forget Fontenoy and, of course, Waterloo. For my heart bleeds for Belgium, so stout and so brave. Sure, only for them I'd be now in my grave." "The Russians," he says, too, "will join before long. 'Twill be nothing like war. 'Twill be merely ping-pong. If you like, you can fight, for I'll give you the tin. But I must be boss when we get to Berlin." "The Dagos," he says, "with their mandolin band, are out for a deal, so they'll give me a hand. If I give them the cash and I tell them what for, you may swear on your oath they'll be stuck in the war. My navy, of course, is queen of the waves, and Britons, remember, will never be slaves. But a canny old German, they call him Tirpitz, brought out submarines, and he's giving them fits." Says John Bull to Paddy, "My true-hearted son, I hope now you'll help me to smash up the Hun. Forget 98 and the black famine years. When the war is all over, I'll pay me arrears." Says Paddy to John, "Well, you've said that before, and now you are coming again to me door. Well, here is my answer. I'll state it quite plain. I'll stay now at home organising Sinn Féin." "It pays not," says Paddy, "to send my best sons away out to Flanders as food for your guns. If the boys want to fight, well, we'll fight for our own and leave Bull and his allies severely alone." Well, John Bull went off and he took to his bed and he told all his friends he was sorely misled. "Without Paddy," says he, "sure I couldn't well win. So 'tis off for the present, my trip to Berlin." We hope that the songs and poems that we included tonight proved of interest. In our next instalment, we turn our attention to the fact that so many of the revolutionary generation were poets, and we'll feature the work of many of these. With Sean O'Harcoin coming back, in the company of Gerry O'Reilly and Helen Diamond, to deliver them for us. Thank you.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.